Gary.
Okay, Gary, go ahead.
How do you know whether or not you want to proceed with your marriage? How do I know that I want to go any further with it?
So there's, as is often the case, there's a flaw in your question, if you don't mind me saying. Let me try to approach your question in a way you probably won't expect, and you can tell me if it's helpful. If it's not helpful, I can try a different approach. I can try to answer your question directly, but often the case is there's a flaw in the question, and the advice that a person really needs is not an answer to their question. It's kind of, they need an answer to the question that they didn't ask, that kind of precedes the question that they did ask. So let me give that a shot and see how it strikes you.
Okay.
Your question is, how do I know if I want to proceed in my marriage? And in my opinion, in most of these cases, in most of these situations that I see, what one wants is not relevant. First of all, most people in broken marriages don't want to pursue the marriage. By definition, this is not enjoyable. This is not fun. I am not hopeful. I am in pain. I'm frustrated. I don't love you. Whatever the feelings are, it's very, very, very rare that anybody wants to pursue or to be in a broken marriage. That's not why a person should attempt to heal a broken marriage. Let me just give you an analogy. I remember a while ago, one night, it happens occasionally. As you may know, I have 5 kids of varying ages. And I remember one night, one of my sons came to me and said, Daddy, I don't want to brush my teeth tonight. I'm tired. I'm just going to go to bed. Now, this is not exactly what I said to him, but this is some of what was going through my mind. And the words that actually came out were geared towards an 8-year-old, but I'll say it to you in more mature language. The fact that he doesn't want to brush his teeth is not relevant. What's relevant is that we value dental hygiene. And he's going to brush his teeth. And it's my job as his father to discipline him and get him to do it. The fact that he wants to or doesn't want to doesn't really enter into my parenting. Now, he may not like it that night, but he will appreciate it 20 years from now when he's got all his teeth. And by the way, 10 years from now, he won't need me to get him to brush his teeth because he won't need parental discipline. He'll have what's called self-discipline. Self-discipline is, what's discipline? Discipline is doing what you don't want to do when it's the right thing to do. This is the mark of a successful person. And I don't care if we're talking about marriage, business, sports, music, anything. Successful people are not people that do what they want to do. They're people that do what they should do. They align their actions with their values, not with their impulses. And the impulse for just about everybody in a broken marriage is, let me out of here, right? Especially since it's so easy to get instant gratification in a new relationship. Just to offer you another analogy, I know the first one with a kid is not, we're all years and years beyond that, but I'll give you a more relevant analogy to possibly your life or our life. You know, let's say you come from the doctor's and you're 50 pounds overweight and your cholesterol is through the roof. The doctor says that, you know, you've got to start exercising on a daily basis. And if you don't, like, your days are numbered. So instead of getting up at the usual 6:30 in the morning, you set the alarm for 5:30 because you got to start exercising. You know you do. The alarm goes off at 5:30, and you say to yourself, I don't want to get up. I want to sleep another hour. But is that relevant? It's not relevant what you want to do. Hopefully, your action at that moment will be driven not by your impulses, but by your values. You value life. And therefore, you'll get up. You'll win the wrestling match with the mattress. And you'll get up. Really, it launches us into the whole discussion as to what are those values that should be so compelling? What are those values that we should be aligned with that would compel us to try to heal our marriage? By the way, I don't want what I'm saying to be misunderstood here. I am not a marriage-at-all-cost kind of guy. I do believe that there is a time and place for divorce. I'm not suggesting that one of those values is marriage at all costs. Now, by the way, I am well aware that there are people in the program who have that value, marriage at all costs, and they just don't believe in divorce. Okay, fine, I respect that. And if that's your value, then you should align your actions with it. I don't share that value. I do believe that there can be a time and place of divorce for divorce. But I also know from experience that 99.9% of the people that are contemplating that divorce are contemplating it prematurely and are acting irresponsibly. And so one of the values that you should align your actions with is the value of being a responsible, in your case, Gary, husband. And a responsible husband should put in a Herculean effort for at least a year to reconcile their marriage before they cave to that impulse of, I just don't want this. And by the way, I'm sure you've heard this elsewhere in the program, but just in brief, that Herculean effort is not some vague concept. In my book, in my opinion, there are two specific criteria that a person needs to meet in order to qualify. And the first criteria is, what you're fixing? Taking responsibility. In other words, I have no doubt that you could confess to me your wife's sins. You could tell me all the reasons that you don't want to be married to her and all the things, the mistakes that she's made and things that she's done. And I'm sure you'd be right. Nonetheless, I've never seen a situation where there's not dual responsibility. And so what's your role? You know, what's your fixing? The day you become deeply introspective about that, and the day you begin to really work on that, so that's the day you meet that first criteria. And the second criteria is to form and to employ phenomenal relationship habits. We succeed or fail at everything in our lives because of our habits. Aristotle said, excellence is not an act, it's a habit. And you are all here, whether you realize it or not, because you and your husband or wife don't have the ideal marital habits. And so what are those habits? The day you begin to understand that and the day you begin to employ them is the day you begin to meet that second criteria. And not until you've met those two criteria for at least a year could you possibly know what kind of impact doing so would have on your marriage and whether or not it would heal it. And therefore, in my opinion, it would be irresponsible to cave to that impulse of not wanting it before then.
You know, I understand as far as the, brushing the teeth and things like that because, or losing weight because we know it has something to do. We know without a shadow of a doubt. In this case, I don't know. It's not as easily come to mind like brushing my teeth or losing weight when I know I have to.
I'm sorry, you don't know, I don't understand, you don't know what?
How do you, I know that it's right for me to brush my teeth because it's hygiene. I know it's good for me. I also know if I have more weight on me than I should, that I should lose weight for my health.
Right.
I know that without a doubt. What I don't know is how do I find out whether or not this marriage is worth fixing.
That's interesting. I thought you were going to ask a different question there as you were developing that, and then you switched tracks on me.
You can answer what you thought might be that. I could have very well been talking about something else and shifted.
Actually, let's start with actually your last question. I think you did shift tracks, but that's okay. I know it's hard to focus. I think your last question was, how do you know whether or not the marriage is worth saving? Was that your last question? Is that one of your questions?
Yes, that's pretty much it.
Okay, so I'll offer you a new answer to that question, but first I want to just point out that you're really asking, in a sense, you're asking the same question. And the answer that I just offered is also an answer to the question you just asked. My point in demanding, or that's not the appropriate word, I'm sorry. My point in advising people to meet those two criteria for a year is that you can't know, it's not possible for anybody to know what would happen to the marriage, what would be the qualitative change in the marriage if you met those two criteria for a year, unless you did it. And so, therefore, since you don't know what the impact would be, and since the impact of meeting those two criteria for a year has transformed literally thousands and thousands of marriages, it's, like I said, I think it's irresponsible. How do you know if it's worth... I think it would be irresponsible to not explore that. It would be like, let's say if, God forbid, you had some terminal illness and you went to the doctor and the doctor said, look, it really doesn't look good. You know, you're really, really sick. But there is one procedure that we can try, and it's not fun, and it's painful, and the recovery is about 6 months. But there is, you know, a 70% chance that you'll heal. If you don't try, you don't know. In that example that I just gave you, I think that you would try the procedure, even though it's going to stink, meaning it's not going to be fun, it's going to be painful, and you might die anyway, but you would try it, and it would be irresponsible of you not to try it, and your family would be furious with you if you didn't. So that's one answer to the question. I want to give you another answer that's related, and that is that, look, you're a man, of course, and this is, what I'm about to say is not exclusively true of men, but it's generally more so true of men. Men tend to be more left-brain thinkers. Women tend to be more right-brain thinkers. I don't know if everybody knows what I mean by that. A left-brain thinker is somebody who's collects data, is very logical, very methodical, very analytical, very methodical thinker, okay? And these kinds of thinkers are often very good decision makers when it comes to certain kinds of decisions, like, for example, at the office. They're very good at collecting data, analyzing information, and making wise, intelligent decisions. And that's an appropriate decision-making model to use at the office, or at many offices. It will serve you well. But he who is a hammer thinks everything as a nail, meaning that you can't take that decision-making process and apply it to every scenario. For example, let's say I was to say to you, Gary, you know, my wife makes phenomenal brownies. Would you like to order a few dozen? So you might say, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, you're a marriage guy. What do you know about food? How could I trust you? I don't know if I'm going to like those brownies. Okay, Gary, so how can I help you? Well, you know what? Send me the recipe. So I fax you the recipe. So you say to me, okay, well, that's interesting, but tell me, are they homemade or are they from a mix? So I answer that question. Okay, I get it. They're homemade, and I've got the recipe. Could you send me the data from the lab? I want to see the chemical ingredients for everything that's here. Okay, fine, Gary. I'll send you the data. So I send you the data. Okay, fine, but you know, I'd really like to see some testimonials. I mean, what do other people think about these brownies? No problem, Gary. We did a focus group. I'll send you the results. And I send you the results. You could go on and on and on and on, as long as you wanted, and collect as much information you want and analyze it as much as you want. At the end of the day, there is no way you are going to know for sure whether or not you like those brownies, except for one way. And what's that one way?
Try it.
You got to take a bite, Gary. You're going to have to take a bite. And then the experience itself will give you information you could have otherwise never collected. The answer is not in the analysis. It's in the experience. It's a whole different decision-making model. It doesn't always work at the office, but it does work at home. And so, circling all the way back to your question, because I've been all over the place, but I have never lost sight of your question. How do you know whether or not your marriage is worth saving? You cannot know now. I mean, I'm assuming, since you're based on your question, that you've not given this Herculean effort that I am advising. If that assumption is correct, then I am going to say that you cannot know the answer to that question. You should not be seeking the answer to that question in any intellectual thought process or analysis, because it's not going to come that way. It'll only come in the experience.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
You're very, very welcome.